105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and as always, a packed studio full of guests. It's fair to say we've got a bit of a green and eco theme to the show today. We have a solar company on and we also have the Wildwood Trust on the show today. And in fact, I'm going to ask our guests to introduce themselves. So to my right, we have...
I'm Oliver Lloyd from Southeast Solar Electrical, director of the company.
Fantastic, lovely to have you with us today, Ollie, to my left.
Yep, we also have Alex Duffin from Southeast Solar, business development manager.
Fantastic, lovely to see you as well, Alex.
Likewise.
And in the centre, the rose between two thorns, as we were saying earlier.
Yeah, I'm Michael, I'm the fundraising membership manager from Wildwood Trust.
Fantastic, lovely to have you with us as well, Michael. So do stay with us. We're going to be offering businesses and consumers some advice in the first part of the show in terms of solar. Is it right for me? Is it right for my business? And Ollie and Alex will be answering some questions there. And in the second part of the show, Michael's obviously going to be telling us all about the brilliant work that they're doing at Wildwood Trust, particularly high profile at the moment in terms of the bison rewilding programme and the new calf that's just been born. So lots of exciting stuff happening there as well. So do stay with us. We're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to have a chat with Ollie and Alex.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we've got two super business guests with us in the studio today. We've got Alex and Oliver from Southeast Solar and Electrical, and we also have Michael Lunn from Wildwood Trust in the studio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today. Ollie and Alex, I'm going to start with you if I can, because I know renewable energy, we've got COP27 starting today. Obviously, the Prime Minister has decided to go. Solar is very kind of topical at the moment in terms of consumers and businesses alike, looking to invest in kind of green energy solutions. So let's start, if we can, Ollie, by telling the listener a little bit about you guys, what you are, where you are, crucially, perhaps some of your kind of accreditations in the solar space as well. So over to you, Ollie. Give us an intro to SESE, please.
Okay, so yes, Southeast Solar Electrical. We are based in Rochester, the top of Bluebell Hill. We've been going for 8 years, and we are, we do what we say on the tin, is solar and electrical. We're in the domestic and commercial workspace. We do maintenance as well. We've been doing a lot recently of domestic,
mm-hmm.
Because of the amount of inquiries that have come in.
Yeah. So it's fair to say then that it's very much a sort of a growing sector at the moment, more and more people looking to kind of, inquire about, solar solutions for their homes.
Yeah, it's on the top of everyone's agenda at the moment. I think, with the prices rising, I think we seem to see a lot of calls over the weekend where, husbands and wives, I think, are going home and having their chat over the weekend about what we're going to do.
Mm.
Because, the prices are going up and up, and it's costing people a lot of money now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you mentioned kind of, receiving calls from people that are kind of making inquiries. I know you've also done some telephone research recently as well, haven't you, in terms of, some of the frustrations perhaps that people are kind of going through at the moment. What's the feedback that you're hearing in terms of, okay, I'm interested in solar, but actually I'm getting a little bit frustrated now because, this is what I'm kind of experiencing on the ground, as it were?
Yeah, so a lot of our inquiries, we get a lot through Check a Trade, on there we can put ourselves in different locations, and we see a lot of round the bottom of the M25 sort of area. I don't think there's anyone on Check a Trade for solar.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of calls straight away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even in around Kent, we had about 150 inquiries on the weekend that the prices went up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to put some things in place to get back to these people because it's an amount of inquiries we've never had to deal with.
So there's a shortage of fundamentally, there's a shortage of installers in the marketplace. Is that what you're saying?
I would say so.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, when we called these people back, you know, it took us, you know, a good month to get round back to everybody and, you know, get some designs over to them. But they were saying, you know, that they put a few inquiries out and they were not getting calls back. You know, out of 20 calls that I call people back, only three people had managed to go elsewhere. The other 17 had, you know, they only had a call back.
Yeah. So that's obviously going to be, Alex, incredibly frustrating, isn't it? From a from a customer point of view, you know, I've seen the light. I've decided I want to kind of go down this route in terms of renewable energy for my home, but now actually I can't find someone to come round and do a visit, give me a quote, or I haven't necessarily got the kind of product in place to be able to come and do an installation.
Well, that's sort of why we did the research for the data that we've got from the customers that are called in. You're spending circa around about £10,000 on an average install, there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And you would probably go and get two or three quotes. It's quite a lot of money for a lot of people. And for them people not to get a call back from another supplier or another quotation that they've gone down the line with is poor form.
Yeah.
So that's why we took it upon ourselves, just to touch base with these clients. I mean, it might well be that it still takes maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks to get the design out to the client.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a common courtesy there to let them know, one, that we've received the idea of their proposal and give them some time constraints that we're up against and stay in contact with that client.
Absolutely. So you guys are very kind of customer service focused on that level then, fundamentally.
Yes, I mean, that's the main focus, isn't it? Like I said to you just at the start there, it's a lot of money for everybody at the moment. Big decision. They want to be kept in the loop as to what we can and what we can't do. Obviously, the costs are increasing as well for them on the other side with the electricity prices, so it's quite urgent as well.
And there's some other things that go with that, of course. It's, you know, that in itself is peace of mind, but there's also some kind of key industry accreditations, isn't there, Ollie, that kind of needs to be in place for you guys to be able to offer that additional peace of mind. There's something called the Micro Renewable Certification Service, MCS accreditation. Tell me a little bit about that, Ollie.
They cover all sorts from, you know, anything renewable, solar PV, solar thermal, your ground source heat pumps. So obviously we fall under a small section of that because we just do solar PV.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of that, obviously you've got to have MCS, you need to be part of the Renewable Energy Consumer Code as well. Both sort of different focuses. MCS is to do with the sort of installation side. The Renewable Energy Consumer Code is to do with more your sort of how you're running the business, your sales side.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure you're doing everything correctly and giving people contracts for deposits and, you know, all that sort of stuff that needs to be done properly.
So it is a regulated industry, in other words.
Yes.
And ultimately, if you are, you know, a business or a consumer thinking of looking seriously at solar, there is some peace of mind there, but you need to be looking out for that MCS and RECC accreditation when you're talking to a supplier. I guess that's the key thing there, Alex.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Good. Now, I know you guys are also on the telly, aren't you, later this month? Are you on Channel 5? They've been filming a programme.
On Channel 5. I think it's going out later this month.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called Is It Time to Go Solar? Or
Should I Buy a Solar Panel or something? It's all very last minute with Channel 5, by the sounds of it. You know, they're saying, it's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks, but I was quite shocked that, you know, they haven't even got a schedule yet. It's going out in the next couple of weeks.
So you've done some filming with them, presumably, on a client installation? Or?
That's indeed correct, yes. Uh-huh.
On a home or a business?
It was on a home. They came into the office. They did a bit of filming about the way we pick up the phone and how we handle the sales call.
Fantastic.
And then they went out and followed us on site to see how the installation went. It was all very, very fun.
To point out, it was very much focused at the customer as well.
Yeah.
So they got them on speaking to him, the customer was a very nervous customer. Was, you know, I think he was spending the last of his sort of savings, and he was really, really nervous. And when I rang him up and said, look, we can put you on the telly, I think it put a bit of insurance back into
him. So, gave him a bit of peace of mind. Yeah, well, it can't go wrong now because these guys are on the telly.
That's exactly what I thought. And, yeah. But yeah, they, you know, it shows them, you know, before the install, a week after the install, them talking about how much they produce, and you know, and they're even, you know, they're saying that they haven't spent anything on the electric in the last week. You know, it was all
fantastic,
all very good.
Good. All right. Well, so we'll keep a lookout for that. But I think what we're also going to do in the second part of the second part of your interview, in a few minutes, is talk about trying to answer some of these kind of fundamental questions that people might have as well. So we do a bit of a Q&A in the next bit of the show. Sure. But just give us a shout out for how people can get in touch with you guys. What's the kind of best way to make an inquiry with you? Is it through your website?
Well, you can do the old fashioned way. You can pick up the phone, give us a call.
Come and see us.
Yeah, on our telephone number at 01634 553 422, or alternatively, you can go onto the website and put a web inquiry. We try to get back to you within 48 hours on that.
Fantastic. So what's the website address?
It's www.southeastsolar.co.uk. That's
brilliant.
One word as well. We'll pick up your inquiry for
fantastic.
You.
Or pop in.
Yeah. Or pop in and see you.
We like to see our customers.
Yeah, in Rochester.
Have a cup of tea. Yes. Have a cup of tea.
Super great, guys. Thank you so much for that. As I say, we'll come back to you in a few minutes and just do that really interesting Q&A, I think, in terms of kind of cost and, you know, is it appropriate, and we'll try and answer some of those questions. But do stay with us. We're going to play a little bit of music and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you again for joining the BizConnect radio show today. We've got three super guests in the studio. We've been talking with Ollie Lloyd and Alex Duffin from Southeast Solar and Electrical, and we also have Michael Lunn from Wildwood Trust with us today. Michael's going to be talking to us in the second part of the show all about the great work that they're doing. But what I'd like to do now, Ollie and Alex, is just kind of follow on from our last kind of conversation in terms of answering some of those burning questions that that people might have out there in terms of solar and where to start. And I guess on a fundamental level, you need to understand how much electricity you're consuming within your home or business to then understand what kind of solar solution might be right for you. So Ollie, talk us through that kind of process if you can.
So yeah, the big question always is, how many panels do I need? And there's never a correct answer to that off, you know, straight away when somebody rings up. We need to know how much electricity they're using, and then we'll bespoke it to their needs. Now, sometimes the roof isn't big enough, so we can never get to the, you know, to their usage of what they're using.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes the roof is massive, and we could, you know, you could overdo it, which is obviously, we don't want to do that because it's not in the interest of, you know, the price payback for them. So the idea is to, you know, bespoke it to the customer's needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, thinking about my own electricity consumption, I mean, I consume about, looking at my bills, about 3,400 kilowatt hours a year. You know, we're a fairly modest two-person household. Most of that is my wife's hairdryer. But what sort of array would I need on that basis?
Again, so, you know, you're asking me the typical question that we get asked, but without knowing which way your roof faces, you know, whereabouts you are, you know. So we've got a software called PV Sol. We've got a couple of designers in the office that will model your house up.
Okay.
From an initial Google Earth image, and then we'll make the model up.
Okay. So is the kind of, what you're saying then is the aspect of the roof is actually quite important in terms of what way it faces, you know, front or back. Have I got, I don't know, skylights in my roof, for example? Because you're going to need to work around all of that, aren't you? So it's quite a detailed technical drawing, I guess, that needs to be done. Is that right?
Yeah, all of that comes into it. You know, if you've got a north-facing garden, a north-facing pitch, which is your only roof space, we would look at it, you know, if that's last resort.
Yeah.
But usually we won't go anywhere near it unless it was quite a shallow pitch. It might work, but no.
Ideally, it needs to be south facing.
South, east, or west.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so talking about kind of average costs for installation, and again, I know. It's very difficult to kind of do, but let's talk about say a 4K array with maybe 15 to 20 panels. What's the sort of ballpark cost people need to kind of a number people need to have in their minds if they're thinking about going solar, assuming they can kind of tick that box in terms of roof space and kind of aspect? What are we looking at, Alex?
Okay, so bearing in mind if the design's gone over to the design studio. And you're looking at a 4K system.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly, we use 390 watt panels on a residential property. So doing the maths on that, you'd be looking at around about 10 panels there to get to your 4K.
Okay.
We would also look at a potentially battery option for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a reason for that. If you're out all day and you're harbouring this energy that you've produced from your PV system, you would in essence be feeding that back to the grid without a battery.
Yeah.
So you're generating this PV energy. You want to be potentially to be able to store that.
Yeah.
Every household's different. Some people work during the night. Some people work during the day. But in essence, I would say around about 70% of the work that we do does come with a battery.
Yep.
So basically what you would do there is the energy that you're storing from your PV system, you'd hold into the battery, and then you would call on that when you return to the property.
Yeah.
So you're actually using your own energy that you've produced during the day.
So for a 4-kilowatt array, including a battery...
Yeah.
What, 10 panels?
Around about 10,000 with the battery.
Okay.
Around about 7,500 without the battery. You're looking at a payback of around about 9 years.
Right.
That's working out around about 35p per kilowatt at the moment, which is where the prices are. But having said that, they're not door numbers. They're going to move.
Yeah.
Who knows where that's going to be in the next year, to 18 months.
Yeah, that's really good to know. I mean, going back to what you were saying earlier, Ollie, it is a significant kind of investment decision for people, isn't it? £10,000, and you are going to do that ROI in terms of, where are electricity prices at the moment, etc.
Yes, and touching on that, we don't want to oversell.
Mm-hmm.
If you got one battery, we know the customer can give us 3,500 kilowatts per year, but we don't know how you're using that power unless you've got a smart meter and you can give us the graphs.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do is start the customer with one battery or two, depending on if we see fit for two, we'll fit two.
Uh-huh.
Then we monitor it on our software, and we can then advise the customer. The batteries we sell them at about £1,600 each.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot to be paying out for an extra battery if you don't need it.
Yeah.
So we would monitor it, and then if there's an export going down to the grid still and you're using your power up by sort of 8-9 o'clock, we would then advise the customer, like, we think you should have another battery.
Have an extra capacity.
Rather than giving them three or four to start with, and it's not needed.
Yeah. Alex,
I think what Ollie's trying to get to a point as well is that the batteries that we actually use are modular.
Right.
So the point is not to oversell to the client.
Mm-hmm. But that's really good to know. So you can plug another one in and...
They're plug and play.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can when you get the app back, we can see all the information coming back to our office as well as what you can see on the app, which is available to you, being a client. And then we can have a discussion to say, well, we think potentially another battery is an option here.
Yes.
And then we can add the battery to the array and to the system.
Fantastic. And you mentioned another really interesting point there as well, this idea of feeding electricity back into the grid. So does that still exist? Is there still a feed-in tariff for businesses and consumers, or is it consumer only?
So there is a small price that they'll give you for exporting it back. I think it was about 4 or 5p now.
Mm.
People like Octopus Energy, I think they're doing like 12 to 15p now. I've heard a lot of customers say it's quite hard to get through to them.
Yeah.
and get to that, because I think a lot of people are obviously registering, because it's obviously a big difference in 4p to 15p. But I think they're probably all going to be going that way, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But the incentive isn't necessarily as much as it used to be, is that right? Because I think in the early days, with government subsidies and everything else, it was probably a lot more attractive as a feed-in tariff.
So when the feed-in tariff was there, yeah, it was a lot more attractive. But, you know, when you look at the return of interest now, it's about the same that it was with the feed-in tariff, because obviously the prices of electric are so high, it's cancelled out, the need for a feed-in tariff.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the export as well, doesn't it? You would export back to those guys at 5, 6p, and then you're buying it back from them at 35p.
You're getting the
good business,
the short end of the stick there. But it's a really interesting point, because of course you can, if you've got batteries, presumably you can access the grid off peak to charge those batteries, can't you?
Yes,
and then use that cheaper energy during peak times when it would have been a lot more expensive. So you can play all sorts of tunes if you've got a battery install as well.
You've done your research, Martin, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I'm looking into it.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah, you're right in what you're saying. You can get your inverter to speak to your battery.
Yeah.
Most providers will have a cheap night rate tariff.
Yes.
That'd be the hours of, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning till 3:30.
Yeah.
You can program your battery to pull that cheap night rate tariff to store your battery.
Yeah.
And what that does is that keeps you away from any high peak tariff charges, basically. So you've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? And I was watching something on the news yesterday. They're talking about the energy companies this winter potentially incentivizing people not to use energy during, you know, the hours of 4 till 7, which is kind of peak time.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, almost unheard of, really, isn't it? You know, you come home from work and, you know, you need to cook a meal and you need to turn lights on. I mean, how they expect, you know, ordinary people to kind of work around that, I just don't know.
Well, it goes back to the prices we gave. I mean, these are rough prices, but a $7,500 up against $10,000 to include a battery.
Yeah.
You've got to factor all these things in that we're talking about, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, inconvenience
you wouldn't necessarily be that bothered about that scenario if you had your battery and you were charging it at a cheap night rate tariff, then you're out of that sort of argument.
You're then using your own energy anyway. How you use it is entirely up to you, isn't it?
Exactly that.
You've charged it using a cheap tariff, and now you can use it at peak time when you would be paying a premium to do so.
Oh, could agree more.
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it, guys? Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Do give us another shout out for your website and contact details if you can for people to get in touch.
Yes, so just to confirm, it's www.southeastsolar.co.uk. There is a website inquiry page on there. Please feel free to put in your details.
Fantastic.
Alternatively, you can call us on our telephone number 01634 553422. Alternatively, pop in, like Ollie said, have a cup of tea with us.
And a chat, brilliant.
Or email me, alex@southeastsolar.co.uk.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for that. That's been really, really interesting.
Thank you, Martin.
We're going to play a little bit of music. When we come back, Michael's been waiting very patiently in the wings, so we're going to hear all about Wildwood Trust and the great work that they're doing at the moment as well. So do stay with us. We'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the second part of the Biz Connect show today, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we're now going to have a chat with Michael Lunn, who is the fundraising manager at Wildwood Trust over in Herne, just outside Herne Bay. Michael, lovely to have you on the show with us today.
Hi, Martin. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. You guys are in the news at the moment for all the right reasons. We were mentioning the fact that, you know, COP27 started yesterday in Egypt. And the work that you do is very much focused on the environment. You've got some very high-profile projects at the moment in terms of a bison rewilding program, for example, that we're going to talk about. But for the uninitiated that haven't necessarily visited Wildwood before, just tell us a little bit about where you are and what you guys are all about, please.
Yeah, so Wildwood is a nature conservation charity. We focus on British wildlife, and we have the mission to protect, conserve and rewild British wildlife. So we very much are focusing on what wildlife we used to have here in the UK, what we still have now is under threat, and how we can protect that. And we do that in a couple of different ways. So we do a lot of conservation work. We go out into the field. We do stuff reintroducing missing species, reinstoring natural processes, and do as much as we can to kind of protect our wildlife. But we also operate some wildlife parks as well. So we've got one that you mentioned over in Herne. We've got a second one down in Devon as well, which are kind of our platforms for engaging people about the wildlife that we have had here before and what is under threat, in the hope that kind of kindle a fascination about that wildlife so that people can be a bit more engaged about the wildlife we have here and how they can protect it and how they can get involved in the conservation of those species as well.
Fantastic. Now those facilities, those visitor centres, they're not zoos, are they, fundamentally? That's not what you're about. You're not a zoo.
No, we like to think ourselves as more of a wildlife park, where we, instead of necessarily having animals that are there just for display, we have parts of the habitat that have been enclosed that we can have those natural animals in their natural habitat. Mm-hmm. So we very much do focus on the conservation of the species that we have on site. Most of them are there either as part of conservation programs or they're there as ambassador animals to teach people about these lost species and their threats. Mm-hmm. And all of those in very, very natural enclosures, very much with the focus on developing their natural behaviours and giving them as natural and as wildlife as they can possibly have.
Yeah, and presumably some of those animals will be rescue animals that you've taken in from other places?
Absolutely. We've got rescue animals, we've got animals that are to be released, mm-hmm. and we've got kind of a whole variety. So we've got probably our most high-profile rescue animals would be our two rescue bears. So back in 2014, we rescued two bears from Bulgaria, and they were kept in these horrendous canned hunting facilities in little concrete pens. But we got involved with a few other charities to rescue these bears.
And what were they being used as, those bears? Was it bear baiting? Because I know that's a very popular kind of sport, for want of a better word, in Eastern Europe historically.
Yeah, so they were there as part of a canned hunting facility, which right. is where people can go and they essentially choose which animals they would like to hunt, and those animals then open up those enclosures and they get a chance to shoot them. So it's quite a barbaric and outdated yeah. practice that's been outlawed in Europe. But when that was outlawed, the facility was closed down, but not properly. So these bears were just abandoned in this facility without really being rescued and just left there to fend for themselves in these little concrete pens.
Yeah,
a local village found them and was feeding them porridge, trying to keep them alive, essentially. They couldn't release them themselves. They didn't have the expertise or the knowledge to do that release themselves. So they contacted some charities that do bear rescue, mm-hmm. who then got involved with us as well, as we provide kind of the home for these bears.
Fantastic. What a good news story. Yeah, brilliant. And I guess, a part of what you do, a key part of what you do as well, is kind of, encouraging these animals to mate as well, and to kind of to bring new life into the world. So and your bison program, I think, has been very successful and in the news recently, hasn't it, on that front. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the bison program, or Wilder Bleam we've called it, it's a partnership project between ourselves, Kent Wildlife Trust, and a few other people have been helping out along with that as well. That is very much a project showing how restoring natural species, restoring natural processes can recover our damaged habitats, and how it could be much more effective than us going in and doing ourselves. So the idea there is we've reintroduced bison into the woodland, and bison acts what we call keystone species. So they have a really big impact on the habitat around them. All of their natural behaviours can change the way that habitat looks, and it's really, really beneficial for a lot of the other animals that live there as well. So bison do things like dust bathing, where they roll on the ground, create these barren patches, which are really, really good for invertebrates, clear space as well. That's then really good for other animals that feed on those invertebrates. And it supports all of these different lives in the wood as well.
Yeah. So it's all about really reinstating that kind of biodiversity in that kind of area, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the idea is, if we can restore natural processes that do that for us, we don't need to go in with these really intensive conservation plans. We don't need to go in and chop down trees. We don't need to go in and manage any of that ourselves. We can very much take a step back, have a very hands-off approach, and allow nature to recover by giving it that space instead.
So the bison that you've got presumably are in some kind of forest enclosure, is that right? I'm not going to stumble across them when I'm out walking my dog at the weekend, for example. It is very much a sort of protected area, but nevertheless within that they are free to do whatever they would do naturally in their natural habitat.
Yes, yeah, you're quite right. They are currently in the East Bleam and Thornham Woods. They're in a slightly smaller area at the moment, just as we're slowly introducing to that larger space, but they're going to be in a 290 hectare area in that woodland, which is large enough for them to exhibit all those natural behaviours that are really beneficial for the woodland.
Yeah.
So it's very much about keeping them as wild as we can so that they can then restore the woodland for us.
Yeah, and you've just had a new calf born, is that right? Which is quite unique, isn't it? Is it the first ever bison calf born in this country that we know about, or you tell me?
It is the first wild bison born in the UK, mm-hmm. which was really, really exciting. So bison Haven't been in the UK for thousands of years. There would have been the closest living relative really would have been the steppe bison, which would have been found in the UK sort of many thousands of years ago. We don't really have anything now in the UK living wild that fills the kind of ecological void left by these great big herbivores. So the bison that we brought back, the European bison, is the closest living relative to that. So they'll kind of fill a very similar role as a keystone species. The baby bison that was born a couple of weeks ago is the first wild one born in the UK, and hopefully the first of many. The idea being that the bison in the Lean Woods would breed and would form a larger herd. Which is really exciting because bison themselves are actually a species that have faced a lot of threat in the past. They actually went extinct in the wild. And all of the bison that we have living in the Blean now are part of the European breeding program. So everything they're doing, not only is it restoring the woodland, but it's also feeding back into the conservation of bison as a species as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So just for the listener that hasn't necessarily been to Wildwood in Herne before, just paint a picture in terms of what a day out at Wildwood would kind of look like for me and my family.
So Wildwood has about 50 different native species, all animals that have lived in the UK or used to live in the UK or can still be found today if you know where to look them, quite enough and patient enough. And these are all animals that are kept in very, very natural enclosures. And all along the path we have information about our conservation projects. So you can go through, you can see some of the animals that you once would have seen in the wild in the UK. You can find out about why they're no longer here. And you can find out about what we're doing to try and bring them back as well. So it's all about the education on what we used to have here and how we can bring it back, how we can protect what we still have as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And I was amazed because I came along recently to a chamber networking breakfast that you hosted. And I was amazed just how close you can get to the bison, for example, because obviously you do bring them in, I guess, to give them health checks and things like that. And on the day I was there, there was certainly a big, a large female, I think, that was kind of being looked over in her kind of enclosure, which was incredible to see.
Yes, so we have got two of our own bison on site, and they're not part of the ones who are being released into the Blean. They are they're a bit too domestic. They're also used to living in captivity. We needed truly wild bison to go into the Blean so they would have all of those natural behaviours, whereas our ones have come from a more captive collection, so they wouldn't have been appropriate to be released. But we do have a lot of the animals that we do conservation work with. We've got ambassador animals at the park that you can see. So you can still see these animals that are we are interacting with, that we are releasing, that we are working with to restore across
Fantastic.
The UK.
Fantastic. Good. Well, you mentioned kind of ambassador animals. I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music. When we come back, I'd like to understand how people can kind of get involved more proactively with Wildwood Trust, either as a business in terms of, you know, perhaps corporate sponsorship programs, or as individuals, you know, sponsoring animals as well. So let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Do stay with us. We're going to play, as I said, a little bit of music, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Michael.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking with Michael Lunn at the moment, who is the fundraising manager at Wildwood Trust. He's been telling us all about the great work that the Wildwood Trust actually do over in Herne and also down in Devon. They have another site as well. But, Michael, I want to talk about all of your fundraising activity now, because obviously you are a registered charity. You rely on people coming through the door as visitors, the public, but you also have a number of kind of programs that individuals can tap into in terms of sponsorship and also corporate sponsorship as well. So just give us an overview of that if you can, please.
Yeah, so ultimately as a charity we do rely very much on the support of people who are passionate about wildlife. And there's different ways people can get involved, and it really does start just from a visit. So people coming in to see the park, see what it is we're doing, and see how they can make a difference is a really big start. We also do a couple of different ways that people can support, from adopting some of our animals on site, finding out about our conservation projects and finding how they can support there. Or, as you said, corporate sponsorship schemes as well, where people can adopt different parts of the different animals, they can adopt different parts of the park, sponsor different parts of the park, or sponsor some of our conservation projects too. Yeah. And all of that can be done by just getting in touch with us. Like I said earlier, just pick up the phone, coming down to see us, or going through our website.
Yeah, which is, just give us a shout out for that if you can.
So our website is www.wildwoodtrust.org. And then our phone number, if you want to give us a call and have any questions, is 01227 711. No, that's that's not our number at all. It's 01227 712 111.
And just remind us where exactly you are situated, because you're on the road between Sturry and Herne, aren't you? I believe
we are just outside of Herne off the A291.
Yes.
A big sign there for Wildwood, so just follow that sign.
Fantastic. Good. I have to say, I have to confess that I have adopted two giraffes in the past from another wildlife park, and I do wear my giraffe badge with pride. Alex is laughing at me in the background.
Oh,
here.
Someone expects any different from you.
But it is an incredibly worthwhile thing to do, isn't it? And kind of just follow the animals as they kind of grow up and everything else. It's a great way to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a huge impact, the amount of work we could do. As I said, everything that we do, all of the conservation work we do, is only possible because of the support of people who are passionate about conservation work.
Yeah.
So things like adoptions, things like visiting us, and things like sponsorship and getting involved with our projects
of
makes
course.
A huge difference.
Yeah.
That's what makes them happen.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So on that note, you are obviously open year-round. It's not just a summer activity and then you close the doors. So people can come and see you at the moment, for example. So what are your sort of opening hours at the Trust?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're open at 10 o'clock all year round. Mm-hmm. During the winter, we close a little bit earlier just as the light starts to fade. So we're closed by 4. And then during the summer, we're open a bit later. But yeah, we're open all year round and there's always something to see, always something exciting going on, always new things happening in the park as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know you're working on some kind of improved visitor access in terms of parking, and you've acquired some more land, so it's a continually kind of evolving park, isn't it, and facility. You've got a great cafe there as well. I think when we came for the networking, you can have lunch and you can have a coffee, so it really is a day out, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We just revamped our cafe as well. Uh-huh. We're getting a lot of new local suppliers in as well. So it's definitely an exciting time to visit.
Yeah.
And we've had a few new residents join recently as well.
Okay.
A couple of beavers who've just joined, who are going to be doing a bit of rehab over at Wildwood, and they'll be being released back into the wild. So definitely worth coming to see them while they're still at Wildwood. And we've just had a male elk join as well. So come and see the new elk.
Fantastic, great. So lots of reasons to come along. We need to start drawing the show to a close today. Alex and Ollie, just give us another shout out for how people can get in touch with you guys as well, please.
Yeah, as discussed already, you can get us via the website www.southeastsolar.co.uk, alternatively on our telephone number 01634 553 422. Pop in and see us if you wanted to. Or alternatively, my email address is alex@southeastsolar.co.uk.
Fantastic, great stuff. Gentlemen, it's been fabulous to have you in the studio today. Thank you so much for braving the weather and coming in to talk to us today. It's been great to have you. As always, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with another show and some more super guests to talk to you. But I think for now we're gonna draw things to a close there. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks' time. So it's bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.